Okay, the National Enquirer, nurses and midwives grab scholarship from government annually. We understand that there'll be 15 PhD scholarships for nurses, and then there'll be midwives as well who'll be in the provision. Then Mahama unveils ambitious 10-kilometer road project for 166 constituencies yearly beginning 2026. And Ghana now enjoys stable power supply with surplus from exports. For exports, actually. That's according to the Energy Minister. And so some of the stories you'd find here on the front page of the National Enquirer. The traders also commending GIPC boss for his proactive leadership. In fact, in recent times, they've been raising concerns about the retail market and the need to sanitize the space.
Let's go to the Daily Graphic. Black stars on course for World Cup. Jiku ends Mali's dream. Now, President Mahama donates 20,000 protective equipment to share collectors. 3 years on, Apiatse livelihoods remain shattered. New buildings, streets hide empty promises, idling funds. And GCB donates 1 million Ghana cedis to support the children of the fallen heroes. And the account on the Black Stars game is on the back page of the Daily Graphic. If you missed the game like I did, you can check it out.
Okay, the Business and Financial Times, 15 million cedis lost to cyber fraud in the first half of 2025. It's a concern that the BNFC is looking at this morning. And then foreign appetite stirs interest in short-dated bonds with renewed interest, pushing 2030-2031 papers to 61% of turnover. Then we have the issue of digitization, which could add some 40 billion Ghana cedis to the economy by 2029. And that's the projection coming through from some experts as well.
If you go to the Daily Guide newspaper, ECG demands 225% tariff increase. That's how the Daily Guide is putting it this morning. We'll give you more details on the tariff conversations. Winston will be joining the PURC stakeholders meeting also today. Azuma Ghana rejects EMP takeover reports. Winston, this thing, we've been going back and forth.
You know, ENP had indicated that Azuma Resources contacted them at some point and asked for help. Now, at the time, the Azuma Resources owed the GRA, and there were a lot of issues here and there. Then ENP stepped in and decided to also fund a few things, make payments. So they're making monthly, you know, taking care of their monthly expenditure and all of that. Then they reached a deal that said that ENP should acquire them, but then the first amount, that's $50 million, would be due by end of June 2024. Now, by the time that they went round, you know, Azuma has offices in Australia and Singapore, and they came back, it was very close to June. So ENP then said, well, it's almost June now, but you've just brought this to us, but we now have to, you know, get ready and pay. So how about we extend it to, say, December? And they said, okay, when it's time close to June, indicate December. So EMP indicates December. They accept. When it was time for them to make payment in December, then Azuma Resources, now mindful of the global gold price, some of their directors said no, they're no longer interested. But EMP's position is that this is a company registered in Ghana and owned by a Ghanaian, in the name of a Ghanaian. So they actually engage in a transfer of the equity from the Ghanaian who owns it, with a capital of 26,000, I mean, at the time when they registered, 26,000, to ENP. And so for ENP, they've also spent a lot of money over the period,
okay,
settling GRA, paying workers of
Kofi, please Azuma answer Resources. My question. Has ENP taken over Azuma's assets?
ENP says, if you go to the office of the Registrar of Companies today, the Sankofa and the Black Volta are in the name of ENP,
okay,
because they have completed that process.
Ah, so that's what I wanted to hear. Maybe later we can go deeper. But you know, about 7 years ago, I used to produce a show called Our Cities, and we went up there to talk to people in the catchment area when Azuma started the operations. And the main challenge was the land acquisition and the concession. And a lot of the farmers, a lot of the chiefs, a lot of the people we spoke to in that place told us that they felt shortchanged and that their lands were being taken for mining and they had not been appropriately compensated. In certain instances, some of them told us that they were being paid as low as 20 Ghana cedis per hectare for the land. Whether it's for EMP, whether it's for Azuma Resources, what I want to see is that the people who own the land should be appropriately compensated and the right thing done for the people in the catchment area. Whether it's Azuma or EMP, that should be done. Now, if you still stay on the Daily Guide front page, please arrest Abronye DC. Address Asamankesi disputes, Abrade Akwamu chief, and newly posted teachers bare teeth over arrears.
Let's see what's on myjoyonline.com.
If you go to myjoyonline.com, there are a lot of stories, but the lead story is on the BEC documentary that we aired. WAEC to blacklist corrupt exam officials exposed. Enjoy news, dark world of BEC documentary. GES director requests copy of Joy News, Dark World of BEC documentary. And Benyiri conflict, government sets up mediation committee, targets 1 month resolution. Now, on the BEC scandal, most BEC decisions rest with GES, says YX John Kapi. And Otunfo invites Mahama to Asante Himaya's royal funeral. More stories. The Media Foundation for West Africa says Felix Jenfi's defense of flawed NSA platform is untenable. And Ghana's Esther Koba becomes first African president of Global Public Relations Body. Now, if you go to business, traders left stranded after private developer demolishes properties to reclaim land. And Abronya's story is also on the front page of My Joy Online. Now, the fourth Made in Ghana Bazaar draws patrons, promotes local products at the Accra International Conference Center. This is the bazaar organized by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, GIPC, and other partners, and supported by Joy News. If you go to citynewsroom.com, inflation could drop to 9% by end of year. This is Professor Ba Boating. Azuma Resources statement denying gold concession takeover illegitimate. This is EMP. And exchange rate, a symptom, not key economic indicator. Prof. Babwatin still speaking. And Abronya was arrested for offensive conduct. This is the Ghana Police Service. Now, current exchange rate figures more realistic. This is Tomaimi here also speaking. So these are some stories from City Newsroom. I'll give you a last story from there. ECG seeks 224% tariff hike to restore fiscal stability. So those are the stories online. Can we go into the details now?
Yes, let's get into the details. Which story
should we start with? I think the country is losing some 15 million cedis to cyber fraud. We ought to pay attention to cyber fraud because it's becoming a challenge for the state, because the Business and Financial Times is reporting that the economy lost an estimated 14.9 million Ghana cedis to cyber crime in the first half of 2025. Now, according to the new figures from the Cyber Security Authority, the CSA is now disclosing that financial losses to cyber crime in 2024 stood at some 23.3 million Ghana cedis, with this year's mid-year losses already representing a 17% year-on-year increase. Now, fraud and impersonation accounted for more than 94% of the cases. Now, reported cyber incidents as well surged from 1,317 in the first half of 2024, and it's now moving, Winston, all the way to 2,008 cases during the same period this year. There's also the case of online fraud, which is dominated at 36%, followed by cyberbullying with 25%, online blackmail 14%, unauthorized access 12%, and information disclosure, which is somewhere around 9%. So the Communications Minister Sam George is also vowed to deal with some of these developments. But now, it's quite worrying that this is a challenge for us.
Now let me bring you the ECG story. Ghanaians to pay more as ECG proposes 225% increase in distribution service charge. The story is on My Joy Online. David Apinga writes that the Electricity Company of Ghana has submitted a proposal to the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission for a steep 225% increase in its distribution service charge. That is a DSC1. The power company says the huge rise is necessary to avert financial collapse and ensure reliable power supply. Now, the proposed new charge would see the DSC1 rise from its current 19.038 pesos per kilowatt hour to 61.8028 pesos per kilowatt hour for the period 2025 to 2029. Now, the company, which serves over 73% of Ghana's population and 4.87 million customers, argues that the current tariff is unsustainable. So, Winston, I was looking at the RECONA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the PURC has a RECONA app online, and I've downloaded it. Now, if you go into the app, you can put your consumption in or the amount of money you want to buy, right, when it comes to water and electricity, and it breaks it down for you. So this morning, I put a total amount of 1,000 Ghana cedis in the RECONA, which will give me 468 kilowatt hours of electricity. Now, on this, the energy charge is 942 cedis, okay? The levies and the taxes on my 1,000 cedi purchase is 47 cedis. And the service charge, which is this story is referencing, is 10.73 cedis on my 1,000 Ghana cedis, right? Now, if ECG is going to increase this service charge by 225%, on 1,000 cedis, your service charge may come up to some 25 cedis,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of the 10 cedis, if you're buying, say, 1,000 cedis, okay? So this is one part of the tariff conversation. There is a general proposal that they've submitted that we need to look at. If this is one of the few increments that we are going to see, for me, I think to sustain ECG and to make them profitable or to make them break even, this should be fine. For a service of 1,000 cedis, if I'm paying 25 Ghana cedis for that service, okay, it should be fine by me. That is my personal position on this. So that's the ECG story.
Mm. There's also this interesting take on you'd find within the National Enquirer this morning, Winston. It's talking about the 500-bed Afare Community Hospital. You know, Hafiz Tijani, one of our colleagues in the space, has been asking the question as to what exactly the timeline is. I saw some videos yesterday online with some traditional leaders also asking, you know, for updates on the Sewa Hospital, for instance. So these facilities are coming into a sharp focus because if you go within the Kumasi Nkawie stretch, within the Echimanwabija municipality of the Ashanti region, you'd find the 500-bed municipal hospital, which is the Afare Military Hospital. Now, the most recent deadline, according to the story, for its completion and operationalization was set for September 2025 after the late Defense Minister, Dr. Edward Kofi Omanibuama, met with the construction firm, Messrs. Eurojet. Of course, that was done on February 2025. The assurance was given that they would meet the timeline, but it appears that the facility is still not being used, according to this report by Hafiz Tijani. And we're just asking the Ghana Armed Forces, the Ministry of Health, they should try and do something about this facility, actually.
You know, about 2 months ago, I was in Kumasi. I went for a funeral in Nkaria. So when we got to Afare, I made a detour to see this facility.
Mm.
Huge, mm. Lovely yeah. facility, but yeah. It's still not operationalized. Yes. There's a story of the Ashanti Regional Hospital,
as
which
well.
Is at Sewa as yeah. well, which was inaugurated, but it's still not working. We need to work on it. Winston, there's a story about foreign assistance from the U.S. and how Ghana is ineligible to receive U.S. foreign assistance for 2026, the financial year under the MCC. This story is on My Joy Online. Now, the story says Ghana is ineligible to receive foreign assistance for the financial year 2026 from the United States under the Millennium Challenge Compact. This is pursuant to the debt default restriction in Section 7012 of the financial year 2025 annual report, pending a debt restructuring agreement. Now, the revelation was captured in the Millennium Challenge Corporation candidate country report for the fiscal year 2026. And the report stated that Ghana is ineligible to receive foreign assistance pursuant to the debt default restriction. And so that's the story. It says Ghana is among 18 countries that will be considered candidate countries for purposes of eligibility for MCC compact assistance for financial year 2026, but are ineligible to receive United States economic assistance under Part 1 of the Foreign Assistance Act. So you mentioned this earlier, so that's the story.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, once you're going through that kind of a process, and I have the report here, okay, mm-hmm. I have the report here. And if you get to page 5, it says countries that would be candidate countries for legal provisions that prohibit assistance. It says countries would be considered candidate countries. Oh, okay. I think it's time for the BBC News now. So we need to come back to that.
Yeah.
From with me, Winston Amoa. And we're about to have a conversation. I'm so interested in. I know you would love this conversation. Now, we're joined by one man in Cincinnati in the United States of America, launching his best-selling book, From Africa to 1,500 Kroger Stores, My American Journey, in Ghana on the 11th of September. But this book actually chronicles his journey from Ghana to 1,500 Kroger stores. Now, Kroger is the largest grocery store in the United States, and many of those products are now sold in over 3,000 stores in the United States. His company donates a portion of its sales revenue towards building water wells in Africa. And they've already built the first well in northern region of Ghana, and they've begun the construction of another well this year. Now listen to this. In recognition of his economic development work in the United States, the 30th of October has been declared in Cincinnati as Mani Ado Day. And he's my guest today on the Super Morning Show. Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
And we believe you're doing very well.
Very well as well. Thank you so much.
Great. So before we get into even the conversation about, from Africa to 1,500 Kroger stores, I'd like you to tell us a bit about, your skincare company and the product that you, that is currently in over 3,000 stores.
Thank you. So my skincare company is called Natural Shea.
Again.
But our brand is called True Shea. And okay. So that is what we are really known for in the United States, called True Shea.
I mean, as in your skincare product is made from our own shea butter right here in Ghana?
Very own shea butter from a village called Ngani in the northern region, very close to Temale. We take the products from here, we finish it in the United States, package it, and distribute in over 3,000 stores in the United States, and we've done business in Canada as well.
Really? And it has acceptance in the United States?
We have had very good acceptance in the United States across all spectrums. So we have the African community accepting it. A bulk of our clients are African Americans. And we also have the white Americans accepting it because of the all-naturalness of the product. As you may know, today all-natural is a buzzword, and people are moving towards that. So it's really helped us to cut across all spheres.
But this is it. Before we get to your book, I just want us to understand something. This is it. Right here in Ghana, if you went to somebody, introduced Shea, and said, oh, I have a Shea product for you, many people would think, oh, I mean, why would I want to use that? But you see, this same product that some of us, some Ghanaians, don't really recognize as performing magic in the United States.
And you couldn't have said, you said it even better than I could have. Because just to take you back real quick, because it was very important point that you've just raised. When I got into the United States, I was working with a company called JP Morgan in Columbus. A friend of mine invited me to his other friend's house. These are both African Americans. So when we got there about 10 o'clock in the night, the other guy asked me the $1 million question that all immigrants in the United States get when they start speaking. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Ghana. Immediately had my accent. Immediately I said that, he ran to his room. I said to myself, what did I do wrong? All I said was, I'm from Ghana.
Yeah.
He came back with a big ball of shea butter in his hands.
Okay.
I'm like, what is an African American doing in Columbus? 10 o'clock in the night with shea butter. He's like, this is what I do for a living.
Okay.
And to your point, I said to myself, I spent a year in the north. Who uses shea butter? I don't even want to use shea butter. So the next morning, I went online and researched the market size of shea butter in the United States. That's when I realized that, wow, this is a business opportunity.
Wow. I'm happy you're doing that, which means that we can also patronize that right here in Ghana. But let's talk about the book. Let's talk about the book, from Africa to 1,500 Kroger stores. Tell us about, what's in that book, your American journey. Tell us what's in there.
So the book pretty much talks about my humble beginnings in Ghana, how I arrived in the United States, and I want to touch on that a little bit because in as much as we're in 3,000 stores, I'm reading a book, I'm on cover magazines, I'm traveling, you know, the world speaking. When I arrived in Cincinnati, for the first 1 year, I slept on the floor.
Wow.
Wore 2 pairs of pants. Life was extremely difficult. I mean, I was going to go to school. I was almost kicked out of school because I couldn't pay my fees.
Oh.
Until the Catholic priest came and saved me. I had to leave my house at about 8 a.m. in the morning because I was overdue on rent. And the landlord always came to look for me around 7:45. So by 8 o'clock in the morning, I left by 7:30, I'm gone before the landlord comes.
Mm.
And I'm in the library all the way from 8 o'clock in the morning, come back to like 12 midnight, make sure that the landlord is completely gone. So at the point when I was getting ready to be kicked out of school, I approached the Catholic priest in my school, went down on my knees and started crying. He lifted me up and asked me to follow him. He took me to the administration block. Slick old man, I didn't know what I was doing at the time. He asked for my grades. And now I'm in the library 18 hours from 8 to 1 a.m. So fortunately, I had all A's and A pluses. Wow.
That's great.
That was when he gave me a $5,000 loan, which changed the trajectory, which is even how I'm even here to speak. So those are the things that I want to bring out to say that progress is not a straight line. There have been challenges. However, in whatever journey you are, the challenges will be there, but you have to persevere and go through.
Mm. So, I mean, let me just find out. I mean, you talk about how you almost kicked out of school. How did you, I mean, get to the stage where in Cincinnati there's a Maniado Day, which is on the 30th of October?
Thank you again. So Kroger, which is America's largest grocery store, is headquarters in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And so because of the work that I do for them, including we build water wells in Africa in the name of Kroger, they really made me the face of their minority supply program. And so they saw that recognition and they saw the work I was doing in Ghana. And I was also organizing Africa-America Trade and Investment Summits. So 3 years ago, I did one in Cincinnati. Last year, we did the second one. And so I'm bringing people from Africa and all over the world to come and meet in Cincinnati to talk about how to promote trade and investment between Africa and the United States, in the process creating jobs both in Ghana and in the United States. So that was one of the some of the things that, you know, the county and the in Cincinnati leadership realized and said that giving these kinds of work, we think that he deserves a day in his name.
Hmm. And how long has that been since the institution of the day?
So the institution was last year.
Oh, that's nice.
It's coming up again this year. So this year, inviting all of you can make it over to Cincinnati on the 30th of October of this year. We're going to do the first ceremony of the Maniado Day in Cincinnati. But what I'm trying to do is that beyond myself, I'm trying to use that opportunity to showcase Ghana-made products,
okay,
to showcase the culture of Ghana. So I myself will be dressing not like this, but in true Ghanaian regalia to express our culture and to promote investment between the two continents.
Mm. Let's talk about your water wells in Ghana. You have one. You have one constructed in northern Ghana, and you're doing another one. Tell us about that.
So the water well, I work closely with my sister, who's my partner, and she leads that effort in Ghana. What we do is a portion of everything that we sell, we bring it into Ghana to come and, you know, build water wells. So we chose a village called Ngani. And before we put our first water well in, the residents, especially the women and children, had to walk about 5 miles in the morning to go and get water before they even went to school, like 6-year-old children. And so it kind of struck me, and I'm like, if we could provide water for some of these people, that will cut short their walk to look for water in the morning before they go to school at age 6, I think it would be a noble thing. So that is how we came about that, and we continue to do that work in there as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, you touched on the Africa American Trade and Investment Summit. Tell us more about about that summit that you organize, and where you've talked about organizing the first two editions. Will the third one be held?
Yes. So the whole idea, when I left Ghana to the United States, one of my objectives is to bridge the economic and business gap between Africa and the United States. So what I have done is that during this summit, I bring leaders from Ghana, leaders from Africa, and leaders from the United States to sit down and talk about how do we promote business between the two countries, two ways. Because Africa has a lot of things that people in the United States can benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
People in the United States have a lot of things that Africa can benefit from, including investment opportunities. Because there are a lot of people in the U.S. who want to invest in Ghana. So we're sharing that opportunity. And so the first two and the third one is going to happen in October in Cincinnati this year. But next year, we're bringing it to Ghana.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is that we've talked about this opportunity in Africa for 3 years. Let's come to Africa next year to come and see it.
Great. But so let's talk about the book launch. When is it happening? On the 11th?
So it's 2 days from today.
Mm-hmm. That's on Thursday. Where are we doing it?
So it's at the Ecobank head office. They have a beautiful auditorium there.
Okay.
That's where we'll be held from 5 to 7.
So 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yes.
Is it open to all?
It's open to all.
Okay, so we can just get in there.
Just get in there. Come one, come all.
Thank you very much, Mania. Anything you want to say finally?
Well, what I would like to add to it is that perseverance is extremely important. Whether you're in business, education, whatever you're doing, it may not be easy in the beginning, but if you stay the course, you will most likely get to a very successful end. So I would like to leave my audience with that.
Stay the course, you get to a successful end. But of course, from Africa, 2,500 Kroger stores, my American journey launches on Thursday at the Ecobank head office building from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is open to all. So please make sure you're there.